Greetings, this is Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and welcome to this transmission of Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. This is a program centered on the nature of consciousness and life continuum as revealed through near-death, out-of-body, and similar spiritually transformative experiences. Some of the topics include what people should know about the dying process, the many facets of after-death communications, living interdimensionally and being multisensory, intuition and telepathy, and more. We feature a stellar roster of special guests who are both experiencers and researchers in the realm of NDEs and related topics. For more information about our organization, Toward the Light, on this radio program, please visit our website, towardthelight.org and towardthelight.info. This week, I'm very pleased to have somebody back on the show who's been on a couple of times before. The author of some really brilliant and thought-provoking books entitled The Stars Are Falling, You Will Be Wiser When You're Older, and Is It Me for a Moment? Let us welcome back to Toward the Light, Mr. Matthew Deluz. Hello, Matthew.
Hello, how are you doing?
Oh, not bad, lad. It's really lovely to hear your voice again, and
it's nice to be back. I'm grateful that you've invited me on tonight. I think we're going to discuss NDEs tonight, aren't we? My personal experiences as well as other things.
Yes, you've certainly, actually, since last year, you've been doing a tremendous amount of research, and I look forward to finding out more about those experiences. And I know your latest book, I think that was released last year, is It Me for a Moment, and that actually involved a trip that you took to Egypt and uncovering a lot of symbology there. But what I would like to do, lad, is ask you a bit about your near-death experience, because I'm sure that on top of the fact that you were abducted as a child, needless to say, has really, really impacted you. When did your near-death experience occur, and are you able to tell us a bit about what caused you to have a near-death episode?
My near-death experience happened 20 years ago now. I was around 28 years old. 22 years ago. So it's quite a long time ago, and at the time I just thought it was I was having a nightmare. But the more research I've been doing over the last few years, and the way things are going for me, I realise that things that happened in the past in my life happened to help me at this time, in the future, as it was then. It was, you know, interdimensional events, in my opinion, happened to quite a few of us throughout our lives. It's just that we, on a five-sense level, we don't understand what's actually going on. And it's only through what I went through in the late 90s that I have any idea myself, or I get any comfort out of my own knowledge and understanding what actually happened to me. As you know, I was on your show last year, earlier this year, and I mentioned my childhood, where I had an interdimensional experience with entities. The beautiful woman. I'm not going to go into it because it's obviously in the archives, but I had that experience, and at the time I had no idea what it was about. I had no idea, and I soon got rid of it out of my memories. It's only as what happened to me in the 90s that made any sense to me.
Yes, I thought that would really help you to understand. I thought that might indeed help you to understand some of the things that happened later in life, and you made such a good point, because when I gave a speech this last, actually it was a little over a week ago, on the 6th September, I was talking about also having interdimensional experiences all of my life, but only as we got older and have more experiences can we really make sense of what happened to us when we were younger. So that was really good that you made that point out, because that the exact same thing has happened to me. So please go ahead.
I think there's a collective event going on, and certain peoples around the world at the moment are experiencing very similar things, and it's all leading somewhere. I think that our experiences are subconscious information that's leading somewhere to something very important. And the more research I go into and the people I speak to on a daily basis, that's the conclusions I'm coming to. To explain, as I say, obviously your listeners want to hear about the near-death experience they had, and I hope that my experiences can connect with one or two of them and spark something off in them. But I'll go through it now. Basically, I was 28 years old. I was married. I had one son aged 3 and a newborn baby. Shortly after he was born, he was only a very tiny baby. And I worked shifts in a factory that worked with what was known as jute. It made sacking and underfelt for carpets. And it was a very dusty, dirty place to work in. And I have an allergic reaction to castor beans. Apparently a lot of people are allergic to castor beans, and this is what I was working with. And what it did, it caused me to have a serious allergic reaction every now and again through it. And because I was poor and poverty-stricken, I kept working in this factory, and it was still causing me these problems. And I was working shifts, and anybody that's worked shifts in a factory anywhere like that knows that it's very tiring, and the hours that you work catch up with you, and you get tired. And one afternoon, I was lying on the sofa at home, dozing off in between shifts, and I was very tired, and I suddenly felt a reaction that I was having to this castor bean dust that was in the sacks that I was working with, and I couldn't catch my breath. The first thing I noticed was I couldn't breathe, and I started to panic, and the more I panicked, the worse it got. And I was gasping for breath, and I knew I was in serious trouble, and I had nobody there to help me, and if anybody had been there, I don't think they'd have been able to do anything. And then all of a sudden, I got a vision of my life, but it was like watching a video film, and it was moving along, showing all the things I'd done up to that time, from being a child to 28, the things I'd done playing, bad things I've done. I mean, I have a very guilty conscience because I actually killed a dog when I was a young man, and it's been on. I felt guilty about this this dog, and I was shown the dead dog and stuff like that, and little trivial things that, well, I thought they were trivial, that I'd done in my life, and it literally was like watching a video film. But certain sections of this video film would flash forward and increase in size, and it'd make a banging sound. So I was like watching all the things that I'd done in my life, and it was going boof, boof, boof sort of thing with these images of the bad things I'd done. And the good things as well. It wasn't all negative. And they suddenly stopped. The film stopped. And I actually saw the words, "The End." And I don't know what saying is that, but I actually saw the words "the end," and I realised that I was dying. And that's hard to explain to people. I realised that I was actually dying, and the first thing I thought of, with the state of mind I was in at the time, was of Jesus and God and stuff like that. I realised that. There was something after all, you know what I mean? How do I explain that? I was an atheist. There was nothing. When I was 28 years old, I never thought of there was any life after death or anything. I thought you lived once, that was it, and then you died. You didn't exist. And that was the way I thought at the time. And to have this experience, well, it was amazing. And then all of a sudden, I started seeing flashing lights and images of spinning lights and thing. And then I suddenly left my body. I came out of the body and I started basically floating up. Like in a dream, like I was in space, you know, just these all these lights appeared and I was attracted towards a light. And I felt very good, and I thought, the initial reaction was bloody hell, I've ended up going to heaven. You know, I thought it was funny, because, as I say, I was an atheist, I didn't believe in anything that happens after you die, I just thought you died. And I was laughing about it inside myself. I still felt like I was in a body, and I was floating through space. And I was attracted to a light. This light appeared, bright, spinning light. And I went towards it, and I'm just, to be blunt with everybody that's listening, I thought, here I am, I'm going to God. That's it, I've made it. You know, I am not a bad lad, I'm going to God. And I that's how I felt. And as I went towards this light, it was like I was flying through space, floating through space. I suddenly entered this light, well, I thought I was entering the light, and I appeared in some sort of church or a temple, or I don't know what it was, it just looked like a church. And there was mirrors and candles and things like that. It was quite an amazing place. And I've never forgotten this, and I'm talking 20-odd years ago. But I hadn't gone through the light. The light, there was a tunnel on the opposite side of this church that had appeared in. And the light was there. It was like it was down a tunnel. And so I felt an attraction to go to that light. You know, I was going to see God as far as I was concerned, that's it. And as I approached the tunnel that led to the light, the light was down the tunnel, I was approached by four, I can only describe them, Juliet, as monks, entities dressed in hooded gowns, like a monk. And they had the hoods up, you know, hoods on these gowns. And there was four of them, and they stood round me. I felt a bit intimidated, and I thought, what's going on here? And basically, they all seemed to be questioning me at the same time, not speaking, but through telepathy. And they were all questioning me about the events that I was shown on the video film. Previously, you know, when I killed the dog and other things in my life. And they were actually really interrogating me over how I felt emotionally. And I started to get emotional about that. And then, to cut it down a bit, the story, I was allowed to walk down the tunnel. Because I'd answered the questions properly, or I'd explained my emotions or what I felt. At the time, I felt like I'd been allowed to go down this tunnel because I'd answered the questions properly. And I actually felt genuine remorse for the bad things I'd done. You know, like over the dog, as I say, I felt guilty over the dog all my life since I killed it. And that was one of the major things that I answered about killing something, was the emotions I felt, it was like I was being released from the guilt of killing the dog. And these monks moved out of the way and said, there you go, you can go down the tunnel. And I'm thinking, good, I'm going to go to God's place, you know, I'm going to heaven. You know, because of the mental way I was, the program I was in my mind at the time, I thought I was going to live with God. And I was walking down this tunnel, and then I suddenly realised that I had a wife and children back on Earth, sort of thing. And I didn't want to leave them, especially the children. The new son had just been born was on my mind more than anything else, and obviously my other son and my wife I love very much. And I'm going down this tunnel, and I suddenly start to think, I don't want this. It looked so exciting and so nice, and I felt perfect, you know, I had no pressure, no weight on me at all. It was like freedom. But something said to me, you can't go down there. You can't go without your family. I'd managed to get there, but I didn't want it. I didn't want to go to the light because of what I'd left behind on here. So I decided, somehow, I don't know how these things work. I don't know how it worked when I was a kid when I met the beautiful lady. But next thing, I'm back in front of the four monks, and they stood around me again, and I'm having a pop at them. I'm saying, why have you brought me here now? And I'm asking them questions. I'm interrogating them as to say, what are you doing to me? You know, I'm not going down the tunnel. You can stick the tunnel up your backside, sort of thing. And I'm going to go back to my wife and children. And these monks, I could see with the body language and the atmosphere that they were getting a bit annoyed. And I kept insisting. I said, I'm not going down that tunnel. You can stick it up your jacksey. I want to go back because I've got a family that I love and I want to be with them at this time. Next news, Juliet, I don't know what happens in your body or whatever in your soul or whatever. I can't explain that. I'm not a scientist. But I was back on my settee and I was gasping for air and I was coughing and spluttering and breathing in deeply. And I basically came back to life. Now, I was sat after that event for about a full hour, just totally stunned. I was literally sweating, stuttering, and I felt like I'd died. And it had a very big effect on me. But, as I say, the frame of mind I was at the time, at age 28, I put it off as a nightmare. I fell asleep and had a nightmare, and somehow these things had happened like that. And basically, that's it. That's the experience that I had in 1987. That's how I felt at the time, and that's how I remember it, based on 22 years ago. But it was so vivid at the time that I've never been allowed to forget it.
Well, that's definitely that would definitely categorize it as a near-death experience for sure, and that you made a conscious decision to return to this plane. So, you know, that is interesting. Are you able to hear me all right?
I'm struggling to hear you.
Okay. Well, anyway, just go ahead and share more about, you know, some of the things that you have concluded about this. I mean, you know that it was an NDE now, and you've done some research. You know, what were some of the things that led you to more research about this?
What really struck me is in the years that I'm living now, that since I went through an awakening in the late 90s, is that tale has it's only had one meaning to me at the time. It was a nightmare. It's only gained in meaning and me understanding it with what's happened since. Now, when I look back on that event, I see it as some sort of message to me that I cannot go to what I see as home or heaven without the people I love, without the people I'm connected to. Even though I can, I saw it as a spiritual battle with the dying. I've succeeded in a battle, and I'd answered all the questions that needed answering on a spiritual level, but I cannot go back to the light or to my home without the people I love. That's how I symbolically see it now with what's happened to me since. And when I go back to the events of when I was a child and the interdimensional contacts I had then that didn't make any sense then make sense now. Because even as a young boy, age 6 to 10 years old, I was being triggered subconsciously with information that would help me as I reach the age I am now and the research I'm doing. So even though you've got people up and down all over the world that have near-death experiences and they get something out of it and they see things on a far-sense level with it, I believe that it's actually programming and prodding them for events later on in their life. That's how I see it from my experiences. As I say, the actual near-death experience that I had, it priming me up to tell me that I cannot go down any tunnel, I can't go to any light without the people I love with me. And as I say, the symbolic battle I had with my work and the stuff that affected me at work meant something on a spiritual level than the actual five sense level I was experiencing. And it set off a series of thoughts in my mind that, I ended up, Juliet, actually going to South America and drinking the ayahuasca medicine. And a lot of people will see ayahuasca as just a drug that will alter your state of mind. But at the end of the day, my near-death experience was a change in my mind that affected me on a similar vein. You know, the experience that I had was basically subconscious spiritual information that I couldn't understand on a five-sense level. But that said, the information's actually going into your soul or whatever, and it's priming you up for some future event. And now you see it on a five-sense level, it's not the actual spiritual meaning of the information. It means something totally different. Like I've explained with my near-death experience, it means I see it now as meaning something totally different. You know, that's how I see it anyway. Anyway, I ended up having the drinking ayahuasca ceremonies, and I drunk the ayahuasca, and I had a very similar experience as my near-death experience, drinking ayahuasca. I won't say it was as powerful as the near-death experience, and it wasn't anywhere near as powerful as the abduction experiences, but it was still very informative. I drank the stuff. I had the same sort of weird experience, a sensation of seeing the light and going and receiving spiritual messages. Basically, with the ayahuasca, I was shown things on a spiritual level that means something totally different on a five sense level. It basically is how you look at it, Juliet. As far as I'm concerned, it's how you interpret the experience. And I believe that the human race collectively has been dumbed down and made stupefied, really. We've been turned into beings that don't understand anything apart from material five-sense ways. So therefore, when we receive some certain messages through dreams or near-death experiences, we are failing to understand them on a five-sense level, but simply because we've had something done to us that interferes with understanding the spiritual message. And basically that's where I'm up to in the research I'm doing. I'm going down the line of even near-death experiences, and it's not the all truth. It's not with people that's visiting the light, so to speak, are not actually getting home. They're seeing something. The experience. I don't know how to explain this. They're seeing something that can be misinterpreted. it can be totally misinterpreted on a spiritual level, because you're seeing it as a five sense happening. The intelligence you're using is your five sense reality.
Yes, it's a very good point.
I believe that the human race has been dumbed down, and it cannot react. You cannot react to what you're seeing because we've been dumbed down, and therefore we cannot react to what's happening to us. You know. I hope that makes sense in a certain
way. Absolutely. Yeah, because I've even pointed out too, and a few people have. David Icke and I were talking about this too, how what one experiences during a near-death episode is very much going to be contingent on one's frame of mind and one's understanding of reality, one's belief system, because you know, as we all interpret our NDEs, it's still going to be flawed at best, because we're still interpreting them so much from, you know, the influences that we've known throughout our lives. And so you're making a very good point that, you know, what people think they see or experience in a number of the NDEs are not necessarily accurate. And, you know, people are always very subjected to the interpretations with their visions, with their near-death experiences, with their out-of-body experiences. It doesn't matter. And as one becomes more aware spiritually, then one can have a more enlightened understanding of one's near-death episode. So you're hitting upon some really good points here, and I really appreciate that. I know recently I was reading something about how a lot of holy people would use these sacred herbs and all sorts of stuff like the ayahuasca, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, that actually do open their minds to receive input from other dimensions. So, you know, I think all of that is very valid and important too, although I've not tried it yet. Now, you took that twice, is that correct?
I've actually had five ceremonies. Basically, the experience with ayahuasca is you've two ways of doing it. You can drink the ayahuasca. You can go and lie on a bed because it's very powerful. It knocks you flat, and you can either shut your eyes and take in visions with your eyes shut. Or you can either try and stay with your eyes open and visualize things that's going on around you that you can't see on a normal day, you know, on a five-sense level. My very first time taking ayahuasca last September, I've never taken any substances before in my life. I've never been a drug taker. I don't even smoke dope or anything. So it was in at the deep end for the likes of me. And I witnessed, when I took the ayahuasca, the group of people I was with, I literally witnessed multidimensional activities right in front of my eyes. And, I mean, obviously people are going to say I were hallucinating. But it's how you interpret it, the dream state. I mean, a near-death experience can be fobbed off as an hallucination. I mean, I assume my near-death experience was an hallucination, a nightmare. But I'm no different now. It is said, Juliet, that in the human body, we create a substance known as DMT. It's known as DMT. It's got a long scientific name that I couldn't even repeat if I saw it written down, but it's known as DMT. And we create that in our bodies. And it's said by some people that the DMT in your body, in your pineal gland, we've got a pineal gland which is located between the two halves of the brain. The DMT feeds that gland and it grows, that we create in his own body. I don't want to bore people with scientific terminology. I'm not that sort of bloke, but apparently, when we're born, the pineal gland, which is located between the two halves of the brain, grows because it's injected with DMT, and this DMT makes the pineal gland grow when we're born and when we die. Now, some people are saying that that is to assist moving from dimension to dimension. And I've experienced that with ayahuasca, because as soon as you drink ayahuasca, you have visions. Well, it can only be described as multidimensional. I mean, I looked at people and they changed beings. They changed. I saw all the lives that they'd lived, literally. If somebody sat up after I'd taken ayahuasca, I could see 50 different people, like flicking a pack of cards. There were 50 different people all in that one body. Stuff like that. I witnessed other dark forces surrounding us, watching us. I witnessed all sorts of multidimensional things. But I completely understand people's point of view, and they'll say, well, that's just the drug, ayahuasca, that's made you see these things. It's not really happening. But there again, an NDE could be the same thing. It could be just the pineal gland being flush full of DMT, the substance that creates the visions. And I've got a feeling somewhere in this world that whether you can say it's through the food we are, through water, or through anything, the actual physical body has been interfered with to stop the natural process that allows us to see different dimensions. I think the human body, even though and a lot of people talk about the additives in foods and this, that and t'other, I think that there's a force in this world that's affected the human race, and it is stopping us accessing spiritual awareness, as I call it. You know, it's being blocked. We're being dumbed down on such a level that we cannot understand subconscious information that we receive through spirit. It's being blocked off. We're seeing it only from a five-sense angle. We're not seeing the full picture. It's our as intuitions being taken off us. So when we do have dream state visions or near-death experiences, then we have not got the capabilities of understanding what's fully going on, because we've been blocked from doing so by messing around with the vehicle that we are.
Well, you're making some really good points.
The people that we are is not being able to be access the full spiritual awareness that it's capable of. That's the way my research has been going. There's no proof that ayahuasca is nothing more than a hallucinogenic drug, but there's no more proof that NDEs are not just hallucinations either.
There is proof that NDEs are not hallucinations. In fact, I've had a couple of physicians on this show. One is Dr. Peter Finnick, who's in London, and he has dedicated his work now to NDE research, and he and Dr. Pimban Lommel, who's in the Netherlands, were able to prove how and why the near-death experience is not a hallucination, because first of all, NDEs usually happen when the body completely flatlines, so that means there's no pulse, there's no brainwave activity, so it can't be something of the brain, and there's also no breath. And also, the difference between hallucinations and near-death experiences, and also when people are having the deathbed visions, is that with an NDE and a deathbed vision, people still are very coherent and very clear in their thinking, Whereas with the hallucination, it's completely different. And what happens even physiologically is completely different. So indeed, a lot of scientists and physicians have been coming forward and pointing out the marked difference between an hallucination and a near-death experience. So that's some good news there.
I don't need convincing of any scientist of what I've experienced myself.
Sure.
You know, I know that the experience that I've had, both NDE and through ayahuasca, was very real. I wasn't hallucinating in any way, shape, or form.
Indeed.
Basically because I know that because of events that's happened since and events that happened before. But trying to convince the normal person on the street that ayahuasca causes hallucinations and near-death experiences are just a dream, it's very hard work. I mean, the human race has created this world through our thoughts. So therefore, we've created a means to go interdimensional travel. From birth, death, reincarnation, whichever way you want to look at it, we have thought up the means to do it. Whether it involves the pineal gland or whatever, or what, it doesn't really matter. What I know is that we've created the means to go from one dimension to another. Now, if people can consider the possibility that those means have been infiltrated in some way, therefore we have no knowledge on a five sense level of what's actually going on. Because when you think about it, Juliet, the human race doesn't even know where it's come from or where it's going. It's on completely stupefied. And what I believe is happened is people need to realise that it's not a coincidence that we're walking around on this planet as thick as pig shit, as far as, you know what I mean? I'm sorry to be blunt, but we are literally walking around this planet in the year 2008 as stupid entities. We haven't a clue who we are, what we're doing here, what's going on. Yet the idea of the idea of being dumbed down on both a physical and spiritual level never enters their head. This is the sort of thing I'm going into. Now, if we can grasp that idea that we have actually been, we're all under massive gnosis, both spiritually and physically, then it starts to make a bit of sense. Because then we realise, yes, we are dumbed down, we don't know what we're doing, we're wandering around like headless chickens, trying to find an answer. And we've been doing it for thousands of years. Now, when you start considering that, then you start to think, well, hang on a minute. But was it possible that many, many years ago that we could actually choose when we actually left this world and when we actually came into it? And once you go down that path, then you start to realise, yes, that's possible, but why can't we do it anymore? Why can't we just simply... there's all sorts in the ancient scriptures where the gods, or the humans, or whatever you want to call it, whether they're gods, humans, or whatever, could actually pick and choose to leave the dimension and come back into it when they wanted. If they wanted to live for 5,000 years on this world, they could do. It was their choice. So what we have is initial understanding that we've been dumbed down. And we've been dumbed down so much that any suggestion that we reincarnate from a prison, sorry, I'm getting confused, I'm getting confused with other people, that we confuse, look, sorry, Julie, what I'm trying to get across is the fact that if we can get it into his heads that if we've been dumbed down on a spiritual level, then when we actually leave our bodies, you know, actually die or whatever, and go towards the light or go to another place, then we can actually be dumbed down on that level, that dimension too. This is where the research is going as far as I'm concerned. and no, I'm making a mess of explaining it. So what happens is when you do die, and you do go through another dimension, because you've lost your intuition and the understanding of what you're actually doing, then you could be totally deceived in the other dimension and dumbed down in the other dimension as you are in this one. So you have a scenario then of dying in ignorance. We're dying in ignorance, we're going to another dimension in ignorance, and we are being directed back into this world in ignorance, in spiritual ignorance. And how this actually works is, during your life in this world, you're actually being programmed and led to obey another power in the next dimension that will only lead you back to this dimension. Simply because we've lost the intuition and awareness that we need to actually go to the one consciousness, or go to the God or the home that you want to go to. This is what I'm trying to get across in the next few months. Because we've lost this intuition and awareness, we have no idea what to do when we actually leave this world. And we're only reacting to what we've been programmed to react to when we actually get into another dimension. I hope that makes sense to you.
It definitely makes sense. And also, again, there are multiple dimensions, so you're addressing a very important point here, because a lot of people do still get stuck, I guess, in what is commonly referred to as the matrix or the grid, and they just basically recycle round and round and round back into this plane and still being stuck in ignorance and a lack of self-awareness.
Yes.
And then
yes,
by really honoring our intuition and owning it, as it were, then ultimately we can break out of the grid or the matrix and not be stuck in that anymore. So that's really what we're working towards, is to break out of this dumbed down state that does exist on the lower dimensions as well as on this one, of course. So no, you make
That's the difficult thing of trying to explain, I apologize for the last 10 minutes or so, because I'm just trying to explain something that's very difficult. And basically, that's it. When we were actually, the actual near-death experience that I had showed me that it's not, it's what we've been programmed and made to think in this dimension that affects us in the next one. And because of the entire the system of control in this world, it's so powerful over us that it's just impossible to interpret what's actually going on when you do die. What I'm trying to get across the point as well is in the conspiracy communities and spiritual communities, in the thing, if it's true what people say, the conspiracy theorists in this world say about total control, then surely it does not end at death. It does not finish. It is a mass global conspiracy to keep us dumbed down and imprisoned in a spiritual prison in this world. And obviously, it doesn't end at death. It cannot do. It's impossible, because there would be no point in controlling us in this world if we were free to leave this world when we die and travel into the next dimension. There wouldn't be a point in having a new world order to enslave us in this world if it didn't affect us in the next one.
Sure.
And to become a continuous food chain for the fourth dimensional entities, it'll only be worthwhile if it's a continuous prison. You know what I mean? Not going to stop at death. We're not going to be all be free because we die. otherwise, we've no problems. I mean, what's the problem in the world if we're freed when we die? Because, you know, we just die and we're free. We don't have nothing to worry about. We can all struggle through a 70-year, a 70-year lifetime in this world and struggle and suffer and whatever. If we're all going to be free when we die. This is what I'm trying to get across to people. If there is a conspiracy, if there is a serpent cult, a reptilian race of aliens that's controlling the human race, then it does not stop at death. It continues after death. And when I see the religious people in this world get down on the knees to a god in this world, thinking they're going to be free in the next one, I realise that that's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. If there's an all-loving God that's telling us in this world to get on his knees to it, so we'll be okay when we die, then that sort of personality, that sort of control is going to carry on. If there's a force that wants you to get on your knees and worship it, then in this world, then it's going to do exactly the same thing in the next world. That is the point to try and get across, Juliet, because that a dictator, a person that wants you to get on your knees and beg for forgiveness and beg to go to heaven, is not going to change his tune, his personality, when you actually leave this world. And I believe that is a big mistake made by a lot of people. There's millions of people in this world, Juliet, that's getting on the knees to a god, whether it be a Christian god or whatever god, it doesn't matter. Now, if that force is making them get on the knees in this dimension, then it sure as hell is going to do it in the next one, because that's what dictators and gods do. You know, they don't change the tune just because you've come out of your body. You know, so a near-death experience, in my opinion, is just a transformation from this dimension to another. It's just like going to the toilet. It's a process. And what I'm trying to say is that, yes, when we do die, we go through a calming process, a comfort zone process, of where we're made to feel at ease. Now, the best way to make anybody feel at ease is to make them feel loved and wanted and something comforting. I describe it as being like a mobile over a cot for a baby. So we place a mobile tune, a musical mobile over a cot for a baby to comfort it, to make it feel nice. And it's a spinning thing with music and lovely things, and the baby's calmed by it. So what I'm trying to get across is when we die, we get the same treatment. And what happens is we get the mobile, the comfort, while we travel from one dimension to another. It assists the process. You know, if you've just been in a physical body and you're dying and you're going to leave that body, it's quite a shock to your conscious. It's a shock. So the actual near-death experience, they'll go into the light, in my opinion, is just a calming process. It calms you while you realise that you've left this dimension. You're now in another dimension. You know, it's not the be-all and end-all where you go and live with God and all live in hunky-dory, all hunky-dory and live happily ever after. It's just a process. And what happens when you've gone through that process, as far as I'm concerned in this world, Juliet, is what we end up in is some sort of limbo land where we believe we've ended up in a spirit world, which is basically just as daft as the one we're in now. It's on a slightly more higher level, but basically the intelligence in that world is similar to the intelligence in this world. And basically what I think happens then is the only alternative you have is to leave that spirit world sort of place and come back here. And what happens then is you go through the same process again. And as you've come from that, from the spirit world side, then you go through the same process again and be born. You go through a calming process and you re-enter this world. And basically you go through the same treatment again. And this is what I believe is happening in this world at this present time by a force that's completely dumbing us down on a physical and a spiritual level. I feel I've got that. I feel I've got that across better now than a few 15 minutes ago.
What would you say about people who are more who are awakened? People who are awake, people who are self-aware, people who are.
Well, my personal opinion, with the experiences I've had in my world, Juliet, what's happened in my life in the last 10 years, mm-hmm. and it's been a roller coaster, I can assure you, is that there is a force in this world now at this present moment in time. I don't know how many people, physical bodies it involves, I haven't a clue, but there is some sort of powerful force getting together to put an end to the dumbing down of the body and the dumbing down of the spirit. There is a force here that's clicked on to what's going on, and it's going to change it. That is what I believe. I believe that there is a force in this world. It's acting on the level of on the same level as a secret agent, a group of secret agents that's in this world at this present moment in time, that's here to make changes, to stop the dumbing down of the body, to stop the dumbing down of the spirit, and to open up the dimensions so we're not trapped anywhere. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying people are permanently trapped in this world. I don't believe that either. But I do believe that unless we snap out of the dumbing down of the body and spirit, then we will be eventually completely trapped and treated as a farm, you know, animals on a farm. That's what I believe. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing, and I'm sure other people wouldn't be doing what they're doing, if they did not believe that they've got a purpose to create a force that is going to completely change the world as we know it, and completely changes on both body and in spirit. That is the hardest thing to get across to people, because, as I say, the world is completely dumbed down on all levels, on all levels of understanding. I see things now that I would never, I've never ever seen, imagine seeing 15 years ago. But I have the problem of trying to communicate that to people that I know I can't see what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean? And other people will have the same problems. But yes, Julie, I certainly believe that there is a group of people in this world today that are here to assist in the solving of the dumbing down process, and on both levels, body and spirit. And the hope is there for everybody if they want to accept it. I'm not the best communicator to get this stuff across on a 5-cent level. I know that it torments me every day, but the basic message I have is that yes, we're here, let's get rid of the dumbing down process that's ruled us for thousands of years. Let's get rid of the dumbing down process that's destroyed a spirit. We don't even know who we are. That's what we need to resolve. We need to find out who we are, and as soon as we realise what we are, who we are, what we're doing, then all the spiritual powers will come back to us. We won't be the dumbed-down idiot walking the streets that doesn't know who he is and doesn't know where he's going. We will return to full spiritual awareness, and everything will just fall into place, and we will realise that we are multidimensional beings that never die, and we can do as we wish. I hope that makes sense to you, Kat.
Oh, it makes wonderful sense, and I also think of the fact that you encountered this beautiful lady, and I think you detail a lot of that in your book called You Will Be Wiser When You're Older. And she tells you, and here you are, just 6 years old, and she tells you that you had already made an agreement in advance to help heal this planet. And so You know, I keep coming to the same conclusion that if there were not hope for healing, for tremendous transformation to take place and to be freed of this gridlock of fear and the madness that the shadow people are imposing on this and the lower dimensions, and I do want to specify that we're talking more about the lower dimensions that they really impact because they can't even touch the higher ones. And that as more and more people are awakening, that the power of love is going to help, well, number one, to expedite all of this, the work that you're doing, the work that I'm doing. You know, I'm not a professional speaker either, and yet somehow when I go out and I do give a presentation, people just drink it in because they're really thirsty for this knowledge and for something that is coming from someone who has had experiences that carries a lot of weight with it. So, you know, what you're doing is really, really tremendous and helping to educate the people again from your experiences. That's very powerful, and I commend you for all of this. It's really wonderful. Now, are you working on another book? Have you got any events or anything coming up?
I have a lot of plans. The trouble is with me, is the life I've led has led me with the five sense skills that are useless, basically. I've got the spiritual information that I have to give out, and I'm trying to do it with a dumbed-down physical body that's not capable of doing it as I want to do. You know, I'm hoping that I improve on that before I get much older, but I still have the basic the problems of communication on a five-sense level. What I'd like to point out before it shuts down or whatever is I'm not saying that the human race is completely trapped. The barrier that the lower dimensions that you mentioned is created by our ignorance and stupidity that's been forced on us. It's us that's created the lower fourth and given these entities the power that they have over us at the moment. We've done it. We can change it. We can change it once we realise that we are who we are and what we're capable of, instead of getting on his knees and taking what we've been told for thousands of years as true. It's just you need to open your mind, and I'm quite well aware that the higher dimensions are there, and the higher dimensions are trying to help us. You know, we're not alone. We're not fighting a losing battle in this world. The force is there to help us do it. It sent the force, the power, into this world to do that. You know, I'm not being negative to people. I'm being positive. The force is here to do it, but it's not easy. It's not as though we can just click his fingers and everybody awaken. It's a long process of breaking down the hypnosis that I believe we're under. It's not a case of reading a book and being awake. It's a case of many, many levels of breaking, many levels of hypnosis that need breaking. And it's very, very difficult to get through to people's subconscious the information that will break the hypnosis. Because on a five-sense level, they cannot see the information. They cannot see it, and it's very confusing. It's very confusing because they can't see it, and that's the problem. Because we've been so dumbed down, they can't see the information. That's why we've been dumbed down. That's why we've been dumbed down in both body and spirit, because it's to prevent us realizing and seeing things as they really are. That is the challenge that faces the human race. It's getting rid, shaking off the ignorance and the stupidity that's been placed on them. And that is the key, in my opinion, for breaking the spell, as I say, that we're under. The task seems impossible. How can you awaken a lot of hypnotic people when they can't see the trigger you're trying to break the hypnosis? That, but it's there. The power is there, and it's available if people start to open their minds. And basically, that's it. It's having the guts and the means to open your mind and start to think for yourself again. Once that starts, then the visions will come to people. They will see through the trick that's been put on them and blinded them. That's it. I'm sorry, Cook, I'm bumping on there. Sorry, I'm not.
Okay. I think a big and important part of that process is actually accepting and honoring our intuition and telepathy, and that's what I spoke about last week, too, because that is not restricted, of course, to the five sense level. That really opens up things on a myriad of dimensions when we start to honor our intuition, to pay attention to it, to listen to it, and what have you. And you've certainly been doing that. And, you know, just getting an indication that you need to make a trip, that you need to go somewhere and do research, and it certainly led you in the right direction for doing this work.
Because once you open your mind, then you connect with other people that can help you. You're coming into contact with people that will help you open your mind. And the more you open the mind, then the more contact you have with these people that's here on the same mission as you. They're here with the same intentions as you. It's just that they can't see it on a five sense level. But on subconsciously, the assistance is there for all of us. It's just so frustrating at times. It can get so frustrating that you want to give up. There isn't a week goes by where I don't feel like saying, okay, I've done my best, I'm not getting anywhere, the world is going worse, not better. And there isn't a week goes by where I don't feel like jacking in and turning the internet off and not writing anything. It does, it gets to me. But then something else happens and it shows you that, yes, there is something in this. We are going somewhere. And the same force that's dumbing us down and has done for thousands of years wants to stop us progressing. It wants to stop us awakening. It wants to stop us exposing what's actually going on. So we're going to have a very difficult time. We're going to have problems. We're going to have hurdles that we're going to have to cross. But that said, the force that I believe in this world at this present time will help us when it can. When we understand what the force is trying to do to save the planet and the people on it and open up the true spiritual awareness of the human race, then it will succeed. It will succeed. It's not a case of we're all going to be prisoners and surrender. We're not. You know, we're here for that purpose. The people I see in this thing every day, they've got that little spark in them somewhere that keeps them going, knowing full well they've come here to carry something out, and we're going to bloody carry it out. But, you know, we're going to carry on, and we're going to talk, and we're going to scream and shout and dance around until we actually succeed in what we're doing. And that is what I want to get across to people. Don't give up, keep with your mind, keep your mind open, keep going, keep thinking, keep researching, keep learning, keep remembering, and I'm sure that we're leading to something that we all want to happen. I cannot stress that enough to people, because I've been bashed and battered and kicked and this for the last 12, 15 years. I am absolutely sick of living the life that I live. I am sick of seeing the misery on the streets. I'm sick of these corrupt governments. I'm sick of wars and death and kids getting blown to bits. I am sick of it all. So, you know, it's very easy to surrender back down to it and just say this is how it's meant to be. But, you know, the people that I see every day, the people that email me, the people that talk to me, they're here for a reason. And, you know, we're going to see it out. That is the major message. I'm not here to say we're all trapped in this world and we're trapped in the next world and we can't go anywhere. We've come here to sort it out. We've come here to, you know, to actually solve things, not make things worse. And basically, Juliet, I'm not going to stop doing that until someone stops me. You know?
God love you, lad. It's been really wonderful having you on Toward the Light again and sharing this message. Because we all need to hear, you know, we need to hear about the solutions that are available, not just the problems. And you're definitely presenting some good solutions, and a big one is waking up. And I want to let our listeners know your website is Matthew Deloze, that's DELOOZE.co.uk. And certainly want to encourage people to visit Matthew's website. And, of course, they can find you, Matthew, on my website, towardthelight.org/MatthewDeloze.html. Well, we're going to have to come to a close to this transmission of Toward the Light. It's really been wonderful having you with us again. And keep up the good work.
Thank you, Juliet, for having me on. I just wish I were a better speaker sometimes. But my website says I'm a better writer than I am a speaker. So if anybody wants to see any articles on there, it won't cost them anything. They can come and have a read. And hopefully my message gets across more clearly in my writing. But thank you very much for having me on, Juliet. I really appreciate it, love.
You're so welcome, friend. And you keep up the good work. This is Reverend Juliet Nightingale reminding you that it is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. Please remember that only love prevails. Next week on Toward the Light, we are going to have a wonderful friend and author of the book, The Sage Age. Her name is Mayanna Stevenson, so you'll definitely want to tune in to hear about this remarkable new book. Again, it's called The Sage Age. So we'll talk to all of you next week. Have a wonderful week filled with promising and positive thoughts. We'll speak to you next week on another transmission of Toward the Light. Blessings to all of you.